we as parents or relatives of those that have youngsters, we all need to learn, of course. And the more we learn, the more we're able we are to show and tell others about the great lessons that we have come to learn in our hearts and our minds, all used to the glory of God and preaching His will here upon the earth. We can't help when we are in our everyday world, whether we're in our school atmospheres, we're with our peers, with our work colleagues. It's a common thing for individuals, each and every one of us, to want to reach out and become friends with anyone that we happen to meet. It's a good thing to show that great love and compassion for our fellow man, and it's very good that Christians, those that follow Jesus Christ, would wish to make friends with everyone and to show that great love. But we must be careful in this world we live in. There are many times that well-intended individuals reaching out, wanting to become a good friend to someone, was not careful enough and ended up becoming hurt in some way. But this afternoon we wish to speak on this subject and see what the Bible says about it. True friends can be a wonderful blessing, as we all know, but let us remember that false friends can also be a curse. It is not always easy to know who your true friends are, and usually that is a statement that we always say to one another after we've gone through some trials or tribulations, and when we expected our true friends to show up, and of course no one did. And you kind of, if you've not said that to someone, you've at least thought it. That you really, really know who your true friends are when you become in a predicament or in a situation where you need someone else's help. Sometimes a true friend tells you what you don't want to hear. Sometimes a false friend, though, tells you what you do want to hear. And, of course, that's not always the truth. True friends also say what you need to hear. And, of course, true friends, those that are members of the body of Christ, true friends are Christians. And they will tell you what you need to hear if it is appropriate. They will tell you the truth, even if it makes them your enemy. We find that in Galatians 4 and 16, where the Apostle Paul had told the Galatians some things, preached to them, and he ended up saying in verse 16, "Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" We all know the truth hurts. A lot of times we don't want to hear the complete truth, just portions of it. But when we do hear the complete truth, and if it falls on honest ears and hearts, the Word of God does, when we speak about the truth, speaking about the Word of God, when the Word of God is spoken, it cuts like a knife both ways. And of course, if there are some things in our life that need changing, the Word will hurt us. But it's just temporary. It's our human emotions that get hurt. Those that love the Word of God will allow that pain, and it will form them into a better person where they will learn more of God's will and do what's right after they've heard the truth. But many out in the world, they become offended, they become hurt, they end up becoming your enemy when you speak the Word of God to them and when it shows the error of their ways. But we can't ever stop. Of course, we know that we are to speak the truth in its simplicity and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to anyone that would be willing to listen. And not worry about those that would become offended. You need true friends when hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ. There are many out there that speak, that supposedly preach and teach the gospel of Jesus Christ, but they leave a lot out. They change it. They manipulate the words. They disguise it, and they basically rip and cut it to pieces because the end result, people are not obeying the gospel. There are things that are in the gospel of Christ that people are not listening and adhering to. One, confessing Christ before man and being baptized for the remission of sins. They take bits and parts of the gospel out that we can believe and, okay, repent of your sins and say a prayer and you're saved. But we know that's not all that what the gospel of Christ, all that Jesus Christ has said what man must do to be saved. So those that look to teach and speak the gospel of Christ, if they don't do it fully, correctly, and use all the words that Jesus speaks of concerning salvation and other subjects, they are really, truly not a true friend. They are being a false friend. Who will tell you the full gospel is preached by Christ and his apostles? A Christian will. Mark 16 and verse 15 and 16. And he saith unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that is believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Jesus Christ instructed his apostles to go out into the world and to preach the gospel to every creature. We as Christians, as faithful members of the body of Christ, should do the same thing. Wherever we go, wherever the opportunity presents itself, we should be prepared by having studied the Word of God to be ready to give an answer to those that ask the hope that's in us. That whenever the opportunity presents itself, we should teach the gospel in its truth and its simplicity, because knowing this, there's not many out in the world that are doing that. A true friend will not just tell you what is popularly believed or what may appeal to your senses. He or she will tell you the truth. The truest friend in this world, of course, is Jesus Christ. Second to that are our fellow Christians. 1 Timothy 3 and 15, But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. There's no other organization on this earth that is called the pillar and ground of the truth. It is great to know that we can come in to that place that is called the pillar and ground of the truth, the Church of Jesus Christ, and hear the unadulterated truth on the matter of what God's will is, what His plan is for us, what the plan of salvation is, and of course all the wonderful words of wisdom that He gives us to stay on that right path so that we don't fall from grace. A true friend will not tickle our ears with things that we enjoy hearing. There are many that wish to have their ears tickled. They just want to hear some of the things, as long as it doesn't offend them or rub them too wrong or too bad the wrong way, they'll listen. But there are many out there that just want to hear things that appease them. They don't want to hear reproof or correction too much. A little bit is okay. But not the way that Jesus Christ reproved and rebuked the people, as well as the apostles, and in the lessons that we hear in the body of Christ. 2 Timothy 4 and 3, For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. There are many out there teaching the wrong things, and again, that are tickling the itchy ears of the masses. Whether they know it or not, I'm sure many of them do, that they are turning many away from the full truth of the gospel, and they rely on commandments and doctrines of men and wives' fables and traditions, which are all to perish with the using. Titus 1 and 13, This witness is true. Wherefore rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. Isaiah has some great words in Isaiah 29 and 13. Wherefore the Lord said, For as much as this people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. Here they're halfway down the right path. They honor the Lord with their mouth, with their lips. They honor Him, but their heart's not right. Here it says their heart is far from Him. They've removed their heart far from God. If one removes their heart far from God, there's only one other direction to go. And those individuals moving or directing their hearts to the world and the things of the world. And we know the devil. We know Satan is one that rules the things of this world. And the second thing here is their fear towards God is taught by the precepts of men. They say they have a fear towards God, but it's directed, it's taught, by the commandments, the precepts of men, by the wisdom of men. They have designed how they should fear God. But the only way that we can truly understand how we should fear God is adhering to the Bible, adhering to the New Testament, to have that great reverential fear towards God, knowing this, that He can destroy both soul and body in hell. And that is something that we should all fear, and it should direct us toward Him and should allow us to stay there towards Him in that direction. Here we find their heart is wrong, and again, it's far removed away from God. They don't want to please God in the way that He wants to be pleased. They want to make up the worship that they want to use to please Him. They're not using the things that God has given them to please Him. Again, the items of worship and how they are to act. And of course, again, their fear of God is wrong. It's not right. It's not the right kind. And it's not the right kind of fear that it's going to save them and allow them to do what they need to do to please God. Matthew 15:9, but in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Colossians 2:21, touch not, taste not, handle not, which are all to perish with the using after the commandments and doctrines of men. We hear more than one, more than several scriptures talking about traditions, doctrines of men, man's commandments, and all of this nature. It's there's a lot of warnings here from Jesus Christ and the apostles about them. They will ruin us. They are not devised from the truth. They're not devised from the Word of God. But yet millions blindly listen to them, millions blindly follow them and adhere to them and consider them gospel when they are not. How sad it is that man will put his trust in another man for that eternal salvation. Let us always be careful of what we hear and who we hear it from. Let us heed the wisdom of David and Solomon. Psalms 141:5, let the righteous smite me, it shall be a kindness, and let him reprove me, it shall be an excellent oil, which shall not break my head. For yet my prayer also shall be in their calamities. Proverbs 13:18. Poverty and shame shall be to him that refuseth instruction, but he that regardeth reproof shall be honored. One way we give glory and honor to God, of course, is to listen to Him and to follow His Word. When we read His Word and study it and honestly strive to follow it and accept it and follow it and use it, that makes God happy, and of course, those that do not, the Bible tells, are fools. It makes God happy when we take His correction and we take the reproofs that come His way through His Word, and it's the way, and that is His will to discipline His children. Proverbs 15:31, the ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise. He that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul, but he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. We need to, again, read His Word, listen to the instructions that He has given to us. If we love our own soul, if we wish to give our soul eternal bliss in heaven, we'll allow the instruction from the Word of God to help us down this road of life and steer us in the right direction. And again, we must be careful of who we hear it from, because knowing this, that false friends will sugarcoat it, so to speak. There will be some truths mixed in with it, but the rest come from man. And we need to follow what God has said and not what man has said. A real friend can be trusted. We all know that. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 11:13, a talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. We can always trust a true friend. Those that pretend to be our friends wish us to tell them some secrets or private things from our life, and the first thing they do is run off as busybodies and telling everybody they know of the private conversation that you have had. And sometimes that can become somewhat embarrassing sometimes. That's why we must be careful of who we really consider a real friend. True friends are trustworthy with our secrets and the things that we don't wish everyone to know. Proverbs 16:28, a froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends. True friends never use our past against us. They're true blue forever and ever. There are very few true friends in this world, those that would go about, again, whispering and telling others of things that you've confided with them. You've had a problem, and you've discussed it with them, and those individuals who you thought were your true friends went out telling everyone else that that may work with you or go to school with you. And, of course, we know that ends up breaking that friendship because that trust was broken. So a real friend, a true friend, can certainly be trusted. James 5 and 20, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. We can trust on a true friend to tell us the truth about all things, but most importantly the spiritual ones. Those that would, a true friend is one that would instruct one in the error of his ways, according to the Bible, the New Testament. A true friend will look out for the eternal destination of all those friends of his or acquaintances. It's our job as Christians to, in a loving way, teach the Word of God and show someone the error of his way so that we may save that person's soul from hell. It's our job. It was the apostles' job, and it's a member of every. It's the responsibility of every member of the body of Christ. Whenever they have that opportunity, in the time, in the place, in the situation appears, that we are to show that person where he's going wrong and why, and how the Word of God shows it that individual should do. This in their life, and this is the way to correct it and show them the plan of salvation. It's a good thing, and it's a good work that we save souls from death and hide their multitude of sins. And it's a great day, again, when another individual recognizes God and Jesus Christ and obeys the gospel. Proverbs 18 and 24, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. True friends are few because unconditional love is very, very rare. True friends are often closer than family. True friends love us just because. They are never ashamed to be called our friend. True friends only want what is best for us, and that is eternal life for each and every one, to live in a home in heaven one day. True friends never take advantage of us because they have no hidden agenda. They never hold grudges against us. True friends tell us the truth even when we wish they wouldn't. A real friend will stay with you when you are in trouble. Proverbs 17 and 7. A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. True friends are best seen during times of need. They know when something is wrong in our life and sense when we're in trouble. The true friends hurt when we hurt, and don't mind if we cry on their shoulder sometimes. Proverbs 25 and 19 says, confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. We shouldn't place our trust or confidence in unfaithful individuals. There's nothing better for us to do than to put our trust and confidence in things with faithful individuals, men and women, when we're in trouble. Because we know that the outcome will be the best that it could be, knowing that unfaithful people we can't trust, and we can't place our confidence in it, because it said, the Bible says here, it's like a broken tooth. And what good is a broken tooth when we're trying to eat? Or what good is a foot out of joint when we're trying to walk or run away from danger? A true friend is a faithful one. True friends sense when despair has overwhelmed us. They know when we're hurting. They make sure we're never alone and never desert us during the bad times. They always walk in when everyone else walks out. True friends stand with us during adversity and will sit with us listening when life overwhelms us. True friends lift us when we fall. During stressful times, they bring us hope when we've lost all of ours. True friends warn us when we're heading in the wrong way and protect us when we're at our weakest. True friends love you too much to pamper you. Proverbs 27 and 6, faithful are the words of the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. as I said before, that, and we've heard it and said it many times ourselves and heard it in the past, the truth sometimes hurts. Yes, the words of a true friend will at times seem to wound you. They're speaking the truth. The Word of God does that sometimes. Many times, where when you hear the words, the wonderful words of life, again, it cuts to you. It cuts your heart. It makes you realize that what the condition you're in or what you've done or said or thought is wrong, and that you should be repentant about it and strive not to ever do those things again, say them, do them, or think them. And of course, when those are spoken by a true friend to you in a loving way, you'll feel wounded, you'll feel hurt, but you'll get over it. The wounds will heal. But those you have to be watchful of your enemy. Those that would pretend to be your friend, those that would pretend that are your basically your false friends, your enemies. They'll give you kisses and hugs, but we know those are all deceitful. They are hiding something. And that is very dangerous, especially youngsters, where those that seem to come and warm up to you and tell you what you want to hear and be very deceitful and cunning. And down the road, it doesn't take too much time later. You really find their true motive. You really find the results of your trust in individuals like that. Again, the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. And they will lead us astray, and they will put a hurt on us forever. That hurt will last for a lifetime. The wounds of a true friend will just hurt for a short period of time, but we'd get over it. But we realize the error of our ways, and we'll realize that those were faithful words that were spoken to us from the Bible. A true friend's advice helps us. In Proverbs 27 and 9, ointment and perfume rejoice the heart, so doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. A well and long-tried friend is invaluable. True friends know our innermost thoughts. They have the ability to see deep within our hearts. They bring out the best in us because they see the beauty within that we can't see sometimes. True friends are one of life's great blessings. True friends are dependable when life isn't, and reliable during uncertain times. True friends are a God-given gift that precious few have. A true friend's counsel is especially precious when it brings one the gospel of Jesus Christ. But some people do not make good friends, those who tempt you to sin. In Proverbs 1 and 10, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Psalms 1 and 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. He that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets, therefore meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips. Proverbs 20 and 19. And Proverbs 22:24, make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. The longer that we stay or be around someone that has bad attributes, sooner or later those things will rub off on us. Yes, the Bible tells us that we are to love everyone and love our enemies, but when there are individuals that are of such a nature that being around them a good portion of the time rubs off, then we need to stay clear of individuals that are that evil, that are set in their mind that they will not change, and all they desire is to bring down as many unfortunate souls as possible during their life. There are many individuals with such a mind and a heart that is turned completely away from God, and all they wish to do is teach their evil to others. To the ignorant, to the young, and to get them to do the same thing as they are venturing to do and seems to make a career of, and that is to be an evil person. Have nothing to do with those who are not able to control their thoughts, for they will hurt you by their evil deeds and manners of living. So with all this in mind, let us always appreciate the value of true friends, what true friends really are. On the other hand, false friends say what they want you to hear. They will tell you what they want. and bits and pieces here and there in such a way as to use you. False friends will pacify you, and they will do it in very, very dishonest ways. We need to be aware of false friends, especially when it seems that you're being courted with fanaticism or enthusiasm. They can be very convincing at times, but their motives are not right. Romans 16, verses 17 and 18. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they are such, for they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. Their motives are not right. They're doing it to for filthy lucre, for the materialism, for the material things here upon this earth. And it's sad that they use the Bible and the Gospels of Jesus Christ to do so. They're the ones that are teaching those with the itchy ears. We can see that on many programs on television where you see where they supposedly are preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and the true plan of salvation, and they are not. There are all sorts of very enthusiastic speakers, and as you see the services, you may have went to friends, a friend service at a denominational body where there's a lot of fanaticism and pomp and circumstance and a bunch of enthusiastic people throughout the assembly, what have you, but their motives are not right. Their knowledge, on the other hand, is very likely wrong, and it usually is. Romans 10, 1 and 2, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. They made just like Saul was. He had a zeal for God. He thought he was doing the right thing by persecuting the Christians. There are many that have that great zeal for God today, but they're led down the wrong way by the wrong people, and it's not according to knowledge. It's not according to the New Testament Scriptures. Part of it or a portion of it thereof is, but not complete. And that's what God requires of us all, is to use His Word completely, because His complete Word, Word of God, His Word is perfect. And it will save us, and it will never lead us astray, and will not know something just halfway, like many that are have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. They're not reading or understanding in the Scriptures how God wants to be prayed to, for instance, how God wants to be worshipped, the items of worship that we have in there. They don't know. They're wrong in their ways, in their services on the Lord's Supper. The Bible tells us very plainly, the New Testament, if you read it, it's there for everyone to learn, to according to knowledge, to remember his son's death every Lord's Day morning by breaking one bread and drinking of one cup. But of course, there are many out there that are doing it not according to knowledge, as with many, many other things. False friends will manipulate you. This was a tactic first used by Satan in the Garden of Eden with Eve, Adam and Eve. And it's been used since by many others. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 3, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. And in 2 Peter 2, verses 1 through 3, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. False friends will manipulate you for their use. They will use all sorts of catchy phrases, catchy words, popular phrases, and they will make merchandise of you. They'll use you for what they want to use you for. You, in the end, as a result of what, you know, they've supposedly taught you or told you, what you have is things that are worthless. There's nothing that you've learnt from them that's the truth. You're headed down the wrong way after listening to them. And unless you break from them, break from those type of friends, there's no way you're going to hear the complete truth and understand your will unless you hear from a true friend and guide you the right way. But of course, the most, the best friend that anyone on this earth could have is Jesus Christ. He's not going to lead anyone astray. He's going to lead everyone down the right path. And of course, we need to read and study His Word to understand all that. False friends often forget about you when they are no longer with you. Jesus Christ will never forget either one of us unless we turn on Him and refuse to follow Him and turn our back on Him. Let us understand the danger of having the wrong kind of friends here while we live here upon this earth. Listen to the wisdom of Solomon in Proverbs 26:23-26. Burning lips and a wicked heart are like a potsherd covered with silver dross. He that hateth dissembleth with his lips and layeth up deceit within him. When he speaketh fair, believe him not, for there are seven abominations in his heart, whose hatred is covered by deceit. His wickedness shall be showed before the whole congregation. Many people have been led astray by the wrong kind of friends. How many times in recent news stories have you heard of young 15, 16-year-olds involved in murder and other heinous, terribly heinous crimes, and they're usually involved with some other corrupt 18 or 19-year-olds? If you keep company with bad people, you will eventually become bad yourself. Good habits have been corrupted by bad company. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. And how true it is. Immature Christians have been tossed around by cunning and deceitful teachers. It's very easy for immature and young Christians sometimes to be turned or tossed about because the deceitful teachers, very crafty and cunning how they are, can say things, some catchy phrases and words that can distract you, doubt what you were originally taught, and that was the truth from God's Word. Ephesians 4:14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, in cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Yes, there are people that they're waiting for you to come by for them to use their cunning craftiness, their skills, to pull you away from the right way. We see it time and time again where many have fallen away and have allowed the denominational bodies to grab them up and take them in into their folds and teach them the commandments of men. And it's sad to see that they've allowed themselves to be deceived by such cunning, crafty people. But speaking of true friends, the greatest friend, as I said, as we all know, that we could ever have is Jesus Christ. For greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. John 15:13. Yes, our greatest friend gave his life for us. Our greatest friend went to the cross and shed his blood for us. Our greatest friend invites each and every one of us to knock on his door, and he will open up to us and allow us in. He's our advocate. Our best friend is our advocate with God the Father. He will judge us in the last day. We have to please him, of course, and follow him, and wear his name proudly and wear his name right, and do what we can to further the work of his church died and bled for. Your best friends are those who have Jesus Christ as their friend and seek to be like him. James 4:4, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. We need again pick our friends wisely and carefully, and the friends that we have should all be true friends. False friends are very wicked. False friends act like good friends, but they are of the world, and they will bring us down with them if we're not careful. Finally, James 2 and 23, and the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. In our life, as we live our life, it would behooves us to live it in such a way that we, as we live here upon this earth, that we are God's friend, and that we show him that we are his friend. And if we do so, if we read his word and study it and dedicated to doing his will be his friend as well. There's no better friend that we could have in this world and in the hereafter than God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. That is my lesson this afternoon on friends, that we need to be careful who we associate with and who we keep company with. And it's something that we need to be aware of each and every day, because our social ability here in this world, we're always meeting new people, and of course, as humans, it's our nature to want to reach out and make friends. We just need to make sure that when we make friends, they're true friends. They're not ones that would drag us down, and eventually they would be, in essence, our enemies. So we need to watch our P's and Q's on our who our enemies are, recognize them, and try to win them over to Christ. If there be one, won't you come? So we stand and sing.